So if you want to open the Word, we're going to read from the Gospel of Matthew. And I've asked that I read the scripture reading myself because that helps me also to, you know, to focus on the Word and maybe hear something that God also wants to tell me. I mean, I'm making use of the New International Version, but I'm not sure what version you have there. But before we read the scripture, let's just lay the table and, you know, what's the focus of today's going to be. The question that as I was studying the scripture and felt God was ministering to me also in my own personal life and stuff that I have to deal with, is what do you see? Not now, today, at the moment, but as we go about, especially in these strange times we live in, what do you see? What do you hear? What is the whole time in your thoughts and your attention? Maybe you're one of those lucky people that decide, this time I'm not going to read newspapers anymore. I'm not going to follow the news. It's such a lot of stuff that just, you know, that's just takes away my equilibrium, my sanity. And praise God if you like that. I'm not like that. So maybe this question is more for myself. You know, so just this weekend, you know, when I on social media go through the news items, I mean, the stuff that has happened, I mean, corruption, it's just ridiculous. You know, and I grew up here in Bloemfontein, and that's a beautiful city of roses, but it's now the city of refuge. Rubbish, ne? I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it's a... So all those kind of impressions, and when I listen to people and I hear people speak, I have to the whole time guard myself against in slipping down into negativity of all the bad stuff that's happening around us. And not only in the world out there, but also my own life. I mean, I'm a child of God, and you know, and I'm already on the other side of 50. So sometimes I think there's some stuff that I should have learned by now, and I'm still struggling with it. So not only is the world broken, but also stuff that I see and I hear in my own spirit. Now, the scripture we are going to read is about John the Baptist. And I'm going to start it just now. But John the Baptist, when he started his ministry, and I think most of all of us know that he was sort of the forerunner of Jesus, and according to the Old Testament prophecies. And as John the Baptist started, you can look there in Matthew 3, he was a powerful preacher. He expected this world to change. And he said, not only must people come to repentance, but he says, you just wait. Can I say it in good Afrikaans? Julle blik skools. You just wait. You know, when Jesus comes with the Spirit, he will cleanse everything. All the bad guys, in our language today, will be dressed in orange overalls. You see, that's what we want. That's one of my frustrations. Seemingly, with everything going on, nobody is dressed in orange overalls yet. He's taking responsibility for the stuff. That's the brokenness that's going on. So John the Baptist also had that expectation. And now he gave his life. He was passionate. So you know the story. You can read about that again in John chapter 15. He was arrested by King Herod because he was not afraid. He told the king, you cannot take your brother's wife. Can you imagine you telling that to one of the important leaders in our country? Man, you are playing on an off-bob's doorstep. So he was put in prison. And eventually he was killed there. Now Matthew 11, our context, our scripture, when he's in prison, he's sort of wanting to ask, I think he was reflecting, was it all worth it? He had these expectations of Jesus because of what he see and what he expected to see. And seemingly, nothing happened. Let's read the scripture. I'm reading Matthew 11 from verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. Maybe just to interrupt. So Matthew 11, already he's been doing quite a couple of things up to this stage. When John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, and this is the very important question, are you the one or not? Actually, the scripture says, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Because remember, John had this expectations of how it's going to be, how Jesus is going to change everything. But Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. In other words, who trust me. Verse 7, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written. And then he has this quotation from Malachi, the prophet of Malachi. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Verse 11, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Thus far, our scripture reading this morning. Whoever has ears, let him hear. So John asked this question from Jesus, are you the one or not? Interesting how Jesus answers him. Because John's picture was one of Jesus coming in with judgment. You know, and sorting everything out. Like my son a couple of years ago when he was still smaller, he talked about the good guys and the bad guys. He's just sorting out all the bad guys, putting them in our language in orange overalls. And nothing of that happened. John tried it and he's on death row, where eventually he was killed. Because he wanted to confront those who are wrong and understand that you cannot do this. So that was what John was expecting. He even there, the verse starts, verse 2, he says, when he heard about the deeds of the Messiah. Now that's a clue also, because Messiah is the Greek term the Hebrew term of anointed one, the one that was to come. And of course, as most of you would know, the Jewish people had all kinds of different understandings of what the Messiah was supposed to be. But then he has this expectation. And Jesus says, no way, John, you are not looking in the right way. Now, if you have time, maybe later this afternoon, go and check verse at Matthew 8 and 9. And Matthew 8 and 9, when Jesus starts with his public ministry, I mean, exactly the things that he says here in verses 4 to 5, of the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame are walking, the dead are being raised, exactly those things have happened in terms of how Matthew tells the story of Jesus. So he says to John, disciples of John, go and tell him, you are not looking in the right way. You are expecting this. And because you don't see this, you're asking, but where's Jesus? Why is he doing something? The right question is to say, but what is happening? What is happening around us? You know, all know the expression of a half glass of water. You can either say it's half empty or half full. I've heard some interesting other remarks about that. They say that the realist would say that water, but is that water clean? Or the opportunist would say, what water? I already drank it. You see, people can watch at the same thing and the same circumstances, whether it's about what's happening in Bloemfontein, whether it's what's happening in the world at large, whether what's happening in your own life, in your own situation, and you can say, but because I'm looking for this and not seeing it, then I'm even more stressed out. One of the exercises I've learned, and because we don't use the PowerPoint, I'm not going to use it today, but let me just explain the exercise, is to tell people, look around, and let's use the example here, and see whatever is blue. And then people would look around, and then I'll say, close your eyes. And then I'll ask, okay, but name the things that are red. But that's unfair. I ask you to look for blue. You see? What you are looking for, you will find. Maybe some of you have had that experience when you buy a new car. And I remember when I bought my car, which I had now for a couple of years, a Nissan Livina. And I was so amazed. Everywhere, I just saw Nissan Livinas. Say, why? Why did everybody follow me and buy the same car? But what you think and what your mind is full, that's what you will see. So the first challenge for me in this scripture is when we look around at the brokenness, you and I must make the step and say, wait a bit. Our picture must be aligned with the picture of what Jesus has promised, what Jesus is wanting to do. Not what we want and what we think are the right things to do. Interesting in this verse 6, he says, when he tells the disciples of John, go and look what's happening. Here are the signs of the kingdom. And I hope you know that if you go further, the one very important chapter in the Gospel of Matthew, which in a sense the center of the Gospel of Matthew, around which everything is built, is Matthew 13, the parables of the kingdom. So you have the big parable of the sower, and then you've got seven other parables that say the kingdom of God is like this and like this and like this. Because the kingdom of God is the authority, the presence of God. So Jesus is challenging John through his disciples to say, but go and look for the signs of the kingdom. John, you are looking in the wrong way. He's challenging me also. And hopefully you. When things become too much and you just want to cop out of all the brokenness and all the rubbish that's going on, are you looking in the right way? Are you seeing, let me say it another way, that the glass is not only half empty, and the water is not only dirty, but the glass is half full. The presence of the living Lord that we sang this beautiful worship songs about, he is here, and he is working in ways that you and I do not understand. And he's saying in verse 6, trust me. He said it to John and his disciples, trust me. He's saying it to you and me today in 2020, September 2020, here in Bloemfontein, trust me. Interesting for me is also, as you go further, that he understood that it was difficult for John. Because he doesn't, in the next verses, he doesn't, you know, make out as if John is just ridiculous and not believing strong enough or whatever. But he's telling the people, but who is this John? He's telling them this John is not just an ordinary prophet. Remember, he asked these questions, who did you go out to see? You didn't expect a king. You expected this wild man with the wild hair. And if I had my PowerPoint, I would have shown you one of the nice pictures I got somewhere. He looked really like a prophet, a wild guy, yeah, out of the ordinary. So I said, you expected that type of person. But you know, John is much more than that. You must look deeper. He says here in verse 11, truly among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. John is so much more. So not only what's happening around you, the stuff that John, you're not seeing, that you and I are not seeing, but you and I that are living in that situation are so much more than your own brokenness, your own struggles, your own disappointments, your own frustrations. Because he goes on in the latter part of verse 11, he says, whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. In a sense, he's referring to us. And by kingdom of heaven, he's not referring primarily to one day when we die and we're going to be there forever and all the wonders of that. But he's saying here and now. Not only the world out there is much more than we see with our eyes, but we are more than we sometimes judge ourselves. Not more that we are in control and we are okay. Not that type of thing. That's again off, going off on the other side. But in Christ, In Christ, we are so much more than just people struggling to make sense of what's happening. You see, you know, but let's just remind one another, there's another reality what we can see with our eyes here and now. And through God's grace, He has ordained it because He knows best that you and I cannot see as we see the physical reality, that we cannot see the spiritual reality. But you and I must take it on faith that in the spiritual reality, there's another picture. In the physical reality, it might not seem as if God is in control, as if, to use that old saying, the world is going to the dogs. If my life is so broken and my relationships are so broken and whatever, that might be a physical reality. But there's another picture. You know, as I was reflecting on this scripture, and all of us have interesting people in your lives, whether family members or friends or just people you regularly crosses your path. And you don't know always how to deal with those, or does my son say, special people. I've got a lot of special people in my congregation. I love them in Jesus. But you know, I was just reflecting. In the physical reality, I see them and I always don't know how to handle them. But in the spiritual reality, they are glorious. There's nothing wrong. They are powerful. They are functioning on all their abilities. But we don't see that. I don't see it and you don't see it. So Jesus is challenging John. He's challenging us. Do not stick with what you can see. The world is much more than you can see. There are some nice signs of the kingdom. It's happening around us. This weekend, it's our marriage anniversary was on Friday, so me and my wife went out a little bit. And before we realized it, we were talking all kinds of bad stuff. We're naming it like that, and it was not good. And then there's another way, stop. Let's say, what are the good stuff in our lives at the moment, in terms of our children, in terms of where we stay, in terms of the work that we do? Because the signs are there, but you and I must take a cognitive decision and go against the grain and say, yes, the brokenness. It's reality, it's there, I cannot ignore it. But that is not the final story. There are signs of God's kingdom around us. There are signs of God's kingdom in our lives and those around us. Yeah, this stage of the life, we are still on this journey trying to struggle and figure it out. And that's the part of faith. One of the scriptures, I don't know if you mark scriptures like me in my Bible, but scripture I love very much is 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. In a sense, even though Jesus didn't quote that scripture because it has not been written yet at that stage, He's telling that to John. John, you must trust me. He's telling us today, Delaharp, Jock, Herman, Colin, put in your own names there. You must trust me. You must trust me. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. Another scripture that I have on my PowerPoint is this, it's beautiful, from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, and let me just read it briefly because I think it ties in very well with this. 2 Corinthians 4, at the end it says, verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So our experience, the physical reality, brokenness. But God, praise God, He's renewing us. He's busy with us. We're not always aware of it. We don't always see it. We struggle so much. But this is the journey of faith on this side of eternity. Verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all these challenges. Verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. So for sure, I would have loved it, and I believe you also. And I think John would also have loved it if you can see the whole time the bigger picture. So yes, I'm suffering in prison. Lord, I know I'm going to die here, but I know it's all for the best. You allow me to see the future. Praise God. But God has not ordained it like that. Part of the struggle, part of Him forming Christ in us, being renewed in our inner being, is this journey of faith. This reminding one another, stop being negative. Stop complaining about everything. Stop just seeing that the glass is half empty and the water is dirty. Stop just doing that. Let's hold on to the promises of God. Let's trust Him for this. There are signs of His kingdom around us. And there's a reality which we do not see yet at this stage. So maybe to end with the question, what do you see? I would want to say, like that beautiful verse in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. We are see Jesus. We fix our eyes on Him. The pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And the more I look at Him, the more in some other way, I can manage to have a small little space where I can negotiate this brokenness around me, in my own life and around me. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord, and He's always in control. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank You as we reflected on the scripture, that through Your Holy Spirit, You're also ministering to us. Lord, we are just like John or John the Baptist, or many times we're even worse than him, that we say, but where are You, Lord? Why aren't You doing what we believe You are supposed to do? So forgive us, Lord. Forgive us that lack of faith and of turning our eyes away from You and of looking at what's around us. But thank You, Lord, that You are graceful to us as You are graceful to John we're graceful to John the Baptist. Thank You, Lord, that we are also more than what we can perceive in the physical reality about ourselves. That we are in You. We are Your glorious, sanctified children, made righteous by the precious blood of You, Lord Jesus Christ, and sanctified by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, help us and help us to encourage one another also as community. That when these negative thoughts come, when we are sucked in by all that is wrong and bad around us and in our own lives, that we will be able to encourage one another and point one another to look at Jesus, to look at You, Lord, and to trust in Your promises and to trust in the process and to keep going, whatever it entails to each one of us. Lord, I pray this blessing upon this congregation. We pray for Jock. We pray for the leadership. We pray for the members. We pray for the times trying to figure out what does it mean being church now and being St. John's Presbyterian Church in Bloemfontein in this COVID times and after COVID times. Thank You that You are the Lord of the church and also of this fellowship. And may Your blessing and Your protection and Your guidance being on this fellowship and our leaders. To You be all the glory and all the honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.